And this is what we try to do at church too. We try to make it as comfortable. But I got to say this, or else I won't honor God if I don't. Church is not about us. Church is about Jesus. Church is about the worship of God. We come here, we study the Word of God, we have our fellowship, we say hi to each other. How are you? God bless you. How you doing, brother? What's going on in your life? But ultimately, guys, the reason you're here is for the worship of God. We have to be so careful because we've made church a consumer mentality. What's in it for me? How does it make me feel? Instead of coming in and going, God, how can I minister to your heart?
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome back to In Christ Radio and our verse-by-verse study through the book of Nehemiah. So far, we've watched God rebuild walls, overcome opposition, and restore unity. Now the focus shifts from rebuilding a city to rebuilding a people. Today's message is titled, Learning How to Pray. One of the most beautiful moments in Nehemiah happens when the people gather together with one desire. They want to hear God's word. Ezra opens the book, and immediately the people stand in reverence. They answer, Amen, Amen. They lift their hands in worship and bow before the Lord. Then something remarkable happens. The Levites move throughout the crowd, explaining the scriptures so everyone can understand. God never intended for His word to be hidden from His people. Before we can pray God's will, we must first understand God's word. And prayer isn't convincing God to agree with us. Prayer allows God to shape us until we agree with Him. The foundation of every healthy prayer life is a growing understanding of God's word. And prayer without scripture often becomes self-centered. Scripture teaches us what to pray, how to pray, and what God desires. Today, let's ask, is your prayer life being shaped by God's word or mostly by your circumstances? Let's join Pastor Ben in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 8, in today's lesson, Learning How to Pray. Here's Pastor Ben.
Guys, if you're taking note, this was the true worship of God through His word. Listen, part of what we believe at Calvary Chapel comes from the book of Nehemiah. You go, oh, yeah? If you'll notice, on the back of bulletins each Sunday, we have a statement of faith. And it reads this. We believe the worship of God should be spiritual. Therefore, we remain flexible so the Holy Spirit may direct our worship. Our worship. We believe the worship of God should be inspirational. Therefore, we give a great place to music in our worship. We believe the worship of God should be intelligent. Therefore, in our services, we emphasize Bible teaching so that God may instruct how He should be worshiped. And we believe that the worship of God, listen to this, is fruitful. Therefore, we look for His love in our lives as the greatest evidence that we're truly worshiping Him. It's fruit. It's fruit. It's been said this of the Christian. You're either moving forward or you're moving backward. There is no neutral for the Christian. And you can see the fruit of our lives. You can see if we've been worshiping. You can see if we've been walking with God. For our lives truly demonstrate the worship of God based upon that. Based upon that. So the worship of the Lord was more important part than of the rebuilding of the wall. Oh, we say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, that the walls are built. We say, amen to God. What a great God we serve. What a mighty God we serve when the gates are hung. But it's much, much more deeper than that. And it's so true when it comes across buildings and churches and places to worship. It's more than going, oh, wow, man, we found this great building and it has all of this stuff, when really it's what's inside that counts. You see, when you go to the grocery store, and back in the day, and even now, they have paper bags, and they put all your wonderful groceries inside a paper bag. Now, you and I, we don't worship the paper bag. That's not the important part, although it is used to carry the groceries from point A to point B, but at the end of the day, the most important part is the groceries inside the bag. And that's exactly what's happening here. It's not about the wall. It's about the word and the worship inside the wall. I found a quote from a pastor by the name of Jerry Shirley. He describes it like this, and I quote, "Worship in the Word went inside the wall. The concept of worship in the Word that went inside the wall is central theme to the rebuilding of Jerusalem's wall. The people of Jerusalem," he writes, "led by Nehemiah, gathered to worship, to read the Word, leading to a profound spiritual awakening and revival. This event was not about the physical wall, but about the spiritual transformation that occurred within the walls." I like that. "The worship was rooted in a hunger for the Word, and the people sought to understand and apply God's teaching. The worship was a response to their past experience of judgment and a desire to restore the relationship with God. The revival was a result of the Word's power and the people's commitment to worship and live out their faith," end quote. What's he saying? He's saying, guys, it's important what happens inside the church, what's happening inside the walls, the work that God's doing. And we could see that in our own little church here. It's important what God does on a Wednesday night. It's important what God does in discipleship. It's important what God does on a Sunday morning. It's important, and it's even important what God does inside the walls of our own heart as he begins to transform us. Listen, God didn't save you just to save you. God didn't go, okay, man, you're done, you're saved. He says, now I want to use you. I want to transform you. I want to make you more like me every day. And then I want to encourage you to encourage others and to uplift others and to love others and to be an example to the world of who I am. You realize, guys, that the moon, when we see the moon, is simply reflecting the sun, right? And that's what you and I are called to do. We're called to reflect the S-O-N into a dark world. That's what he's talking about. And so with that as our introduction, let's jump into our text. And as we do, we discover some basic elements. I want you to write elements down because we're going to talk about them that teach us how to worship God. Now, let me give you a disclaimer. Oftentimes we say worship is the time that we spend here with the guitar. It's the first 15 minutes. Well, okay, let's get ready for worship. But worship encompasses so much more. And when we gather to pray on a Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, that was worship. I love hearing the prayers of people because they're not praying to me. They're praying to a God they believe in, a God that they love. And when we get together on Thursdays and we have a semicircle and we're able to look outside and we're still gathered together, we're praying and we're worshiping. And when we study the Word of God together, guys, that's worship. When you have your devotions in the morning, it's worship. It's worship. And so let's see what God's Word says in these first 8 verses about the worship. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1, you guys are there. It says, "Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel." Now, let's stop right there because the first worship element we see, you ready? Worship has to be rooted in a hunger for the Word of God, in a hunger for the Word of God. If you're taking notes, we want to hear what God has said. We should have this innate desire to be in His Word, to study. I want to know what God's Word says. And Nehemiah tells us, he says, oh, yeah, by the way, look at your Bibles, guys. This happened at the Watergate. The Watergate. The Watergate, if you remember, as they were putting the gates, this was symbolic of the Word of God. So it is only appropriate that they met at the Watergate. The people gathered in great number because they were hungry for the Word of God. They were hungry for it. And I'm afraid in today we have our Bibles, but some of them are dusty and we're not hungry for this anymore. And we used to sing a song, I think it was Paul Baloche, that said, "Stir up a hunger for the Word. And God, give us a greater desire to be in your Word." The first element for worship, for worshiping God, has to be rooted in a deep hunger for the Word of God. That's worship. It reminded me of a story, a little boy. He brought his father the big family Bible from the coffee table. You know which one I'm talking about, the big, big coffee Bible. And he said, "Daddy, what is this?" "Well, it's the Bible. It's God's book," the dad replied. Then should we give it back to him since we don't use it? The little boy said. And so again, sometimes the Bible can become an ornament and not something that we're hungry for. My question to us, church, tonight is how important is it for us to develop a hunger for the Word of God? A hunger. See, something so spiritual and so miraculous happens that the more we feast on God's Word, the hungrier we get for God's Word. You know, you and I, when we eat food that sustains our body, we can get full. Oh, I had something to eat today. Boy, I'm really full. I can't eat another bite. It actually is opposite in God's Word. The more you have, the more you should be hungry for. And our church, oh, church, we should be constantly reading and hungry for the Word of God. I love the way the psalmist puts it. Jot this down if you're taking note. Psalm 19, verses 9 and 10. Psalm 19, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, says this. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. Listen, verse 10. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. This is the psalmist knew, God's word. It's more desirable, he's saying. It's more desirable than all the money and all the riches in the world. It's more desirable than the sweetest honey, even if it's dripping right from the... He says, that's how it is. And so I've got to be honest with you, church. I have to look at my life right now and go, Lord, do I have that hunger for the word like this? Is my desire, and it's a battle. It's a battle, guys. You go, a battle for what? It's a battle because my phone tends to win over spending time with God in His Word. Oh, like Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, what I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, there I go and do it. The psalmist is reminding us tonight that God's word is more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. You and I know it in a practical way, don't we? We can easily say 100 years from now, nobody's going to care how much money I had, what my name was, or anything else, but it's going to matter 100 years from now if the word of God was inside me and I was able to glorify the Lord. The people in Nehemiah's day were hungry for the word, more than food, more than gold, more than treasure. And I want you to remember this, guys. They didn't have copies of the Word of God. Most of them only heard the Word when someone would stand and read it publicly. But I want you to note, moving forward, how they honored God's Word, how they took it to heart. And my prayer even now as I'm reading this is, Lord, you would stir up a hunger for your Word. I'll never forget when I first got saved. I remember riding my bike to my best friend's house. His dad was the pastor. His mom was the pastor's wife. I went in the door and said, I said, Nana, can I have a Bible? Do you have a Bible? And she had the biggest smile on her face. And so she gave me this Bible. I still have it today. As a matter of fact, when I went to her funeral, I took it with me and the cover was busted and everybody thought I was a poor preacher because I had this busted Bible. And they were like, why is he carrying a Bible? We need to get Pastor a better Bible. And I reminded him, this was the Bible that she gave me. But I used to take that Bible and read it, and I didn't understand what it was. I was brand new Christian. I just read it, and I would put it under my pillow, and I just would pray for a greater hunger for God's Word. I knew I was going to spend eternity. I want to know all about Him. I want to know Him. I'm not just hoping in happenstance. Moving on to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 2, it says, so Ezra the priest, okay, so here we go, brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding. He brought it on the first day of the seventh month, verse 3. Then he read from it on the open square and was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and the women and those who could understand and the ears of all those who were attentive to the book of the law. So Ezra the scribe stood on the platform of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him at his right hand stood Mattaniah, Shema, Ananiah, Urijah, Hilkah, and Maaseiah. On his left hand was Padiah, Mishael, Micaiah, Hashem, Heshbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. So Moving back, just guys, focus with me. Stay tuned in. If the first element of worship was a great hunger for the Word of God, then the second one we see here, the second element is our worship should be marked by hearing the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. You go, how so? Well, let's break it down. Ezra, you remember him. Ezra was the man responsible for having the temple rebuilt and for the people returning to God to worship. It was that connection. And Nehemiah, in all his work of rebuilding the wall, he carried on the work of Ezra had begun, both the temple and the walls. We know Ezra cared about God's word. You go, how so? Because the Bible describes him as a scribe. This was someone who copied the Bible by hand. He knew the Word of God. The Bible also says that he was a man devoted to God. How so? Because it says he was a godly priest. So Ezra was a pastor, a priest, a scribe. And what has happened? He says, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly. All of them are assembled right here by the water gate. And he comes out. And he says this, the men and the women and all could hear with understanding. I want you to catch that. I want you to underline that. And you go, why? Because you need to know this is one of the prime reasons that we put a great emphasis on the children's church. The Bible says that Pastor Ezra began teaching the word to all those who could understand it. Our little ones, as much as we want them with us, they cannot understand the Bible. And what happens is they get bored and they say, I don't want to go to church. That pastor's boring. They can't understand that. And so we decided to make children's church a place of learning and Bible fun at their level where they can sing and dance and worship and they could learn the word at a way that they can understand. We feel the best way to love our kids This is the best way to love our kids, teaching kids to love God at their understanding level. And we get that from here. And so you have a bunch of people. Ezra opens the Word of God. But here's what I want you to see. I want you to see something that's both amazing and convicting at the same time. You go, how so? Well, notice verse 3. The Bible says from morning to midday. What do you mean? Well, the people were so hungry for the Word of God and for worship that it was from morning to midday. And you go, okay, Ben, Pastor, what's the deal? You ready? They were not focused on the time. They were not thinking, oh, what's for lunch? Or what do I got to do? Or hurry up, Pastor Ezra, let's go. Let's get this show on the road. You know what they wanted? They wanted a connection with God so deep that it didn't matter. And it's convicting because we've got to look at our own hearts, church, and go, Lord, how come sometimes I'm just in such a rush? Come on, an hour. And what we've done in the church today is we've just made it so convenient and so fast and so easy. Get in, get out, let's go. But if we study the Bible, they were there from the morning to midday. And you go, okay, cool. Couple of hours, right? Right, Joe? Couple of hours? No. Let me give you a little bit more information. You ready? If we look at the morning, it's literally from the break of day. So as soon as it began getting light, that's when they were in church. But you got to remember, the people here had such a hunger for God's word. They had lost the connection. Now they're back. And so what happens, they go, wait a minute, Pastor Ezra's coming. Oh, no, we got to get there. And so they were there from the very daybreak to hear God's word. And you know what? They were willing to sacrifice something to hear it. They wanted it, and like Jacob, they would not let go until they had their blessing. And you go, wow, that's awesome, but it's also convicting because we have become that place of, okay, hurry, let's go. Pastor, hey. And I understand logistics, and I understand church. I get that. And I'm not here putting a big guilt trip. Okay, guys, we're going to start meeting from church. What I'm saying is that, man, what happens in here has to be so much deeper in the time that we do have so that we have that. So it's, Lord, speak to me. Lord, give me that nugget of truth. Lord, give me that moment of encouragement. God, please. And so what does Ezra do? He comes and he stands on a He stands on a platform. You see, they had taken the time to build a wooden platform. Why? So the word of God could be heard. The word of God could be heard. And here's what I want you to see. They did practical things so God's word would have the greatest impact. Practical things. There are practical things that we can do to help God's word have the greatest effect. You go, what do you mean? Well, first of all, we try to have the room very comfortable. We try to keep distractions really low. And we try to have the preacher so he can clearly be heard. Why? Because again, we're trying to grab some things from God's word. And Ezra, we made a platform. Everybody was listening. Everybody was engaged. And this is what we try to do at church too. We try to make it as comfortable. But I got to say this or else I won't honor God if I don't. You ready? Church is not about us. Church is about Jesus. Church is about the worship of God. We come here, we study the word of God, we have our fellowship, we say hi to each other, how are you? God bless you. How you doing, brother? What's going on in your life? But ultimately, guys, the reason you're here is for the worship of God. And we have to be careful, if you don't mind, I'm going to stand right here. We have to be so careful because we've made church a consumer mentality. What's in it for me? How does it make me feel? Instead of coming in and going, God, how can I minister to your heart? And in the same time as you minister to God's heart through song and through prayer and through devotion, he's ministering to your heart in the needs that you have. In the breakdown that you have, he's talking to you and he's ministering to you and he's blessing you. And this is the God we serve. But listen, the greatest preparation is not the air conditioning or the heat or the comfortable blue chairs or whatever it might be. You ready? The greatest preparation must happen in our hearts. You go, what does that mean? Lord, guys, we're coming. We come and we're willing to forget about ourselves in our own agenda and submit ourselves to God's word, not to the preacher's word, but to God's word. That's where the greatest preparation needs to happen. And this is what Ezra's doing. Ezra's saying, so what did Ezra do? Well, it goes on in verse 5 and 6. Look with me, Nehemiah chapter 8, 5 and 6. And Ezra stood, opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people when he opened it, and all the people stood up. You guys see that? Pastor stands up here for 45 minutes, 55 minutes. Y'all are sitting down. They did it the other way around. Can you imagine? All right, guys, it's church, and you had to stand to honor the God's word. Oh, well, like for how long? Well, it said from what? From the break of day till noon. All right, I'm not going to that church. That takes a long time. No, sorry, Pastor. No. But think about what he said. He said he opened it up and the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, amen, amen. While lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads, notice, and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. What a beautiful picture Ezra's painting here. Guys, look at this. The third element, the worship of God, is what? Here's the third one, is a humble honor and reverence to God's word. To God's word. In Christ.
That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days, a feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast, with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.